You are listening to Business Day Spotlight.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners right here on the Business Day Spotlight podcast. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and I am going to be your host for today. We are discussing and we are talking about startups in Africa, not only in South Africa, but in Africa and the rest of the world, just looking at what that scene looks like. And we're going to be talking to someone who is sort of a specialist in the field because he is the head of Africa Arena. They are, if I remember correctly, they are also known as a stage for Africa's tech future, and that has actually been trying to raise a lot of money for startups in Africa. And for their 2019 campaign, they're going to be having some tours coming up of late in Joburg and in Cape Town. We are on the line with Christoph. This is Christoph Vinu. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Almost. Vianu. And yes, and we are on the line with him, and he is the CEO of Africa Arena. So that's the conversation we are going to be having. How are you, Christoph?
I'm great.
Thank you so much. So can you just give us a little bit just around what Africa Arena is and what you guys actually seek to do?
Yeah, so thank you for having me this morning. And to answer your question, Africa Arena, as you rightly highlighted, is designed to be the stage for African tech entrepreneurs and tech startups. And per se, we don't raise money ourselves, but we create a platform which enables to connect the best entrepreneurs from the continent in various fields. With investors and with corporate partners. The idea is to really enable entrepreneurs to have access to the key things they need to be successful, which is access to market opportunities. They can get that with partnership with corporates, and access to capital to fund their development and growth. So we've been quite successful in the last 3 years doing that. This is the third year that Africa Arena has been running as a Pan-African ecosystem accelerator. And we've had several millions of dollars of deal impact across the continent. So we're quite happy with where we are right now, but we think there's so much more work to do.
What does that capital raise look like over the last 3 years? How much have you been able to impact in terms of startups over since you started?
Yeah, so first of all, it's important to understand that, we have 54 countries on the continent. We have tens of thousands of tech entrepreneurs and startups operating from, East Africa, North Africa, West and South, with a lot of variety in terms of their local ecosystems. And the global number for all the investment that African tech entrepreneurs are able to raise on an annual basis is less than 1% of the global total. So if we compare Africa to more mature ecosystem like North America or Europe or Asia, it remains a drop in the ocean. So some investor will say, the ecosystem is not ready. It's going to mature some more. It's still early days for Africa. Yet, I personally, being an entrepreneur, and I've been in the field for nearly 15 years in South Africa, I've seen many, many founders struggling, especially in the early stage of developing their ventures, because they basically there is no capital available for them to develop their venture and get it to the point where they can start interesting VC investors. Obviously, Africa going into over 1.2 billion people on the continent and approaching 2 billion by middle of the century and 4 billion by the end of the century. We've got the youngest population in the world, the fastest growing middle class. We got to do more than attract 1%. And, it is particularly true for what we call the under Series A section of those entrepreneurs. And these are really the tens of thousands of entrepreneurs that are really trying to make it work to have a successful venture. Those that are, and there's a handful of startups that are in a, let's say, multi-million dollar valuation bracket. Those guys do not struggle too much at this point to raise capital, but it's, you know, the 99% other entrepreneurs, you know, that are essential to creating the next generation of successful tech entrepreneurs on the continent that need capital. So we've really designed Africa Arena from the ground up. This is an initiative that was born, designed by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs primarily, but with a very strong DNA in terms of investor presence and corporate presence. It's really to be an event that is completely conducive to successful deal flow. So if you look at the ecosystem, Africa Tech, the amount of capital it's been attracting over the last 3-4 years, to answer your question, has been increasing steadily. Yeah. It's been doubling about every year. So, you know, we were at around $200 million 4 years ago. We've now broken last year above $1 billion. So this is great, but it is far from enough. And so we believe this trend will continue. We expect this year to be about 1.7 billion or above. And the reason for that is also that there's been some stories. You know, we had the first African startup listing on the New York Stock Exchange last May. Jumia, the only unicorn on the continent. And obviously that created a lot of, you know, waves and stories and interest for investors. So as a result of all of this, and the fact that, you know, we have some global innovations spreading around the world, like mobile payment, which were actually were born in Africa, actually in South Africa in the end of the 90s, a startup called Fundamo. And which exploded in Kenya with M-Pesa, you know, all of these things and, you know, the story of listing of Jumia is resulting in a lot of Pan-African fund launching and raising capital. So, you know, we expect it's going to increase, but there's still a lot of hard work to connect entrepreneurs with those opportunities. And let's not forget that it's not just about money. It's also about skills development and human capital and about market opportunity for the entrepreneurs to market their services. Hence the importance of international corporates playing an active role in all this. So that's what we're trying to do with the Africa Arena.
Can you share how much has actually been raised through Africa Arena?
So every year we measure the direct impact in terms of all the prize money that goes to the startups, either in the form of credits from our partners. So we have a credit partnership with Amazon Web Services, which distributes $200,000 of credits to all the startups competing at Africa Arena. And we have many other similar partnership corporates that develop a proof of concept with the startup winning the Open Innovation Challenge on which they can pitch at the event. So the total of that is, you know, we've have about $2.5 million of impact every year of direct funding that goes to the startup at the event. But indirectly, in terms of the impact in fundraising, I would say it's probably in several tens of millions of dollars of deals happening around the Africa Arena attraction. And I think if you look at all the major fundraising that happened last year or the previous year, they were all present at Africa Arena the year before. So we're pretty, you know, I think good at identifying the up and coming rising stars of African entrepreneurs and putting them in front of the right investors. And then, you know, we just let them do the deals. We're not, you know, we're not a broker. We just create the stage for the magic to happen. You know,
okay.
That's how we're trying to help.
So in terms of the activity that you've been able to see on the stage or the platform in the last last 2 to 3 years, which regions of Africa would you say are attracting the most either attention or venture capital at the moment?
Well, historically, South Africa has had a commanding lead in that area, you know, and Cape Town has been for very long the digital capital of the continent, the tech capital of the continent. That's due to its you know, relatively mature tech ecosystem, the fact that there's great talent and infrastructure. We have three of the top 10 university here. There's a creative ethos in Cape Town that is very conducive for a startup development. But, you know, what is quite interesting is that in 2018, for the first time, Cape Town and actually South Africa were overtaken by Kenya and Nigeria. So there is very interesting trends that we're observing from West Africa, starting in Nigeria and Lagos, Yabakan Valley, as we call it, you know, which is really a Silicon Valley for West Africa, in the heart of Lagos. And the same thing in Nairobi in Kenya, you know, Silicon Savannah, what is very interesting happenings, you know. And I think that this is great that there is now a sort of quite a fierce competition, a friendly competition, an emulation between entrepreneurs from these three corners of Africa that are just vying for excellence and trying to come up with incredible innovations. And what is also quite interesting is that, you know, they kind of specialize in different things. So, you know, South Africa, there's been a lot of innovation around fintech, some around education. We have had one of the largest exits with Get Smarter a couple of years ago, 123 million deals for online education solution, quite an innovative solution. While you see in Kenya, some interesting innovation that is in different areas, a lot of things around energy, solar energy, you know, a startup like MCOPA, which started delivering those solar kits that are funded and are, you know, sold to customer on a kilowatt hour model, but funded by investors so that, you know, people can get access to solar energy very easily. And then, you know, we've seen other type of innovation around e-commerce in Nigeria, for example. I mean, Jumia being one of them, but there's many others. And then, you know, there are other ecosystems that are coming up, you know, maybe to highlight, you know, for me, one is very close to my heart is Kigali in Rwanda, because, you know, Rwanda is a small country, but thanks to, in particular, international partnership with the Japanese and others, I've been able to really have a bold policy under the leadership of the president to digitalize the country, government taking the lead. If you go to Kigali today, you're going to see that everything is digitalized, everything is online. You can get your visa. You can do almost every admin process very quickly online. It's actually an example for many African nations. I wish, you know, in South Africa, we were taking an example on that. So, you know, that's just great that we see public-private partnership, that we see government taking great initiatives. And so, you know, Africa is really shaking it at the moment. And I think it's very inspiring to see everything that is happening on the continent. It's inspiring, you know, from places like Kigali to even in Francophone Africa, things evolving in Dakar or Abidjan. So it's really an exciting time.
If I may ask, you know, for the benefit of our listeners, because you seem to be very knowledgeable on what's going on to Africa, what's your exposure to the continent, and what actually made you decide to create the stage? Because there are a lot of initiatives in South Africa, in the various countries where people are trying to raise capital. But then what was your interest in all of it?
Yeah, so to answer your question, you know, I've been in Africa for nearly 15 years. I started with some corporate experience coming out for a management buyout deal. And after the exit, became an entrepreneur and started a first tech business and then a second one and a third one. And, you know, then getting experience in incubation and acceleration of startups. So, you know, 15 years later, I'm running a seed fund, which is invested in half a dozen startups. We operate an incubator in partnership with the South African government in Century City. You know, doing all of that, we realize how hard it is for entrepreneurs to raise capital in Africa and even in South Africa, and specifically for early stage venture. So, you know, we couldn't find a platform or an event or something that would enable to position our ventures in front of the right investors or corporate partners. So, you know, looking at what's happening in Europe with Slush or in the US with South by Southwest or other type of event, we just, you know, say, well, as good entrepreneurs, let's solve the problem by creating something that would be the right solution. And so with the support of the local ecosystem in Cape Town, Silicon Cape, and some of the stakeholders in Africa and the support of some international network, we created Africarina in 2017 as a deal flow platform, you know, very much in favor of entrepreneurs. So one of the, you know, key recipe for the success in our view is that, first of all, we spend a significant amount of our budget to the startups. So we give them, we fly them, We give them flight and accommodation to come to Cape Town for the summit. You know, we make sure that there are all the investors present, and then we create a sort of world-class stage for them to pitch and showcase their talent and services. And the second element is that, you know, we spend quite a long time throughout the year through the Africa Arena Tour, which goes, you know, on all the top 10 tech ecosystem on the continent, to run events in each of these locations and find the best startups. So, you know, I think we have a very good research team and sourcing team that, you know, goes and spend time in the different ecosystem to look for the best entrepreneurs. And when we really try to bring the best of them to Cape Town in November for the Africa Arena Summit. And on the other side, we spend our time in other ecosystems. So we do showcase events in New York, in San Francisco, in Paris. And we were in Tokyo last week for TICAD to pitch Africa to investors and corporate and encourage them to come. So, you know, we then have this amazing event happening in November where we have the result of all this work happening across the continent with the people present at the event. So this is really where it's really powerful.
How can people also participate in the ecosystem next year?
Well, I mean, you know, we, Africa Arena is designed on an open model. So we embark in the everything we do, nearly 120 ecosystem partner across the continent. So that would be the, you know, all the major incubator, accelerator, association of founders, investment network. So we really do a lot of work to try to be inclusive and involve them, you know. So at the event, not only do we have startup pitching, we also have keynotes and panel discussions around key elements of what is discussion around what is going to make Africa more successful. So, you know, around investment, around skills development, around market opportunity for entrepreneurs, about what government must do or mustn't do, you know, to as an enablement for the success of entrepreneurs. And so in those discussions, we try to really have a 360 approach to involving as many stakeholders as we can. So we would have, you know, people involved in incubating, accelerating startup, people active in the ecosystem, angel investors, VC investors, institutional investors, corporates giving, you know, the view on how we industrialize innovation and how they can actually work with startups to give them more opportunity for market development. It's also quite critical for startup, you know, to understand that, you know, often working with corporate is a very good go-to-market route. And corporates provide market validation and ability to scale. So if you want to, you know, there's no, you know, other route if you want to be successful and finding a way to scale. So to scale, you need either a fantastic product and services, but often you need partners to distribute on a large scale, to embed your innovation in their own product and services. And it, often we, I've seen very successful outcome from partnership between startups and corporates. You know, people can maybe think that this is not natural, but it's actually a very very good recipe for entrepreneurs, you know, to work with finding channels of business development working with corporates. So that's one of the things we work very hard on. And the way we do this is we run those open innovation challenges. I give you an example, you know, a company like Old Mutual looking for innovative solution for inclusive financial innovation across Africa. And so we run a challenge with Old Mutual to find the startups that could best work with Old Mutual. And obviously those that will be selected will have a fantastic opportunity to work with the largest player in the industry across the continent. So, you know, this is an amazing market opportunity for the startup. It can also lead to transactions, you know. We have corporate venture also present at Africa Arena. So we've seen corporate venture making investment in startup to help them develop. not to kill the innovation in a startup, but you know, rather to help them grow and align them with the interest of the corporates. Obviously, there's a strategic interest for the corporate to do that. But you know, we've seen a lot of success around that. And again, if you see a success story like Jumia has received a lot of corporate investment from telecom operators like MTN and others, or Millicom. And that has been a key to their success, you know. So I don't think that you can successfully scale a business at a great level if you don't talk to corporates, if you don't talk to corporate investors, you know. So that's something to keep in mind for entrepreneurs. So one of the other aspects to answer your question is, I think, you know, again, as I said at the beginning, it's not just about the money. You know, the money is the, you know, it's the fuel that keeps you running. But, you know, you're not going to go anywhere if you don't have a good map of your territory, if you don't know where you're going, if you don't have a good strategy, and if you don't have the right human capital and the skills development strategy to get where you want to be. Scaling a business is foremost a human challenge. You know, sure, you need the capital to develop, but you need the right people to travel with you. And I think we have a challenge in Africa around skills development, and that's equally important to capital, to me. And I think that there is amazing work being done by incubators, accelerators like Endeavor or MEST or Startup Bootcamp in that field. And I think, you know, I cannot stress enough of this is a specifics in Africa, even more than in other areas. You know, in a way, you know, those incubators, accelerators are kind of a new way of educating our younger generation. And, you know, I'm sure that at some point those will be as valuable as MBAs. You know, I mean, you'll graduate from Endeavor or from MEST, and it will be as valuable as doing a more traditional university, you know. And I think also it's a challenge for university to get into that game and to, you know, work closer to innovators and design new programs where there's more tech and more work around innovation. And I think that's fascinating to see, again, what's happening there, really is.
Christoph, as we close off, who are some of the corporate partners that you guys have as Africa Arena? Because you keep talking about how it's a very important thing and that you guys have a deal flow platform. So who are some of the big corporate partners that you have? Because I think, you know, there's certain names that might actually interest people to actually get involved.
Yeah, so it's a good question, because, you know, we certainly walk the talk. You know, when we design this program, we say, well, let's get money for Africa outside of Africa. So we went on and signed partnership with global companies in various sectors. So we have companies like Air France KLM in the, you know, tourism sector. We work with energy companies like Vinci Energy or Engie. We work also with African stakeholders. So I've mentioned Old Mutual in the fintech space. But we also have a very important anchor investor partner like SAMI Fund, you know, which is really trying to power the venture economy in South Africa. We also have innovative group like the Phantom Group, which is a blockchain innovation group on which we're doing a blockchain innovation challenge, and several others like Saint-Gobain or Leroy Merlin in retail or in construction business. So we really have a wide range of partners and a wide range of open innovation challenges associated with this. And so, you know, we're very privileged to have that. And today, 80% of the funding of Africa Arena comes from outside of Africa, which is really a good metric for me, because that means we're bringing a very important net inflow of capital into the continent and in South Africa specifically. And 25% of that goes immediately back to the startup in terms of benefits. And then we're looking forward to build long-term partnership with the other organizations. So we're working very hard on the U.S., Asian and European markets. We're developing our showcase tour. So, you know, all the winning entrepreneurs at Africa Arena, where they automatically qualify to go to VivaTech in Paris the following year in May. This year, we've taken some to New York for our New York event. And, you know, next year, we're looking to do more towards Asia and developing more international events. So, you know, we have a very solid network of partnership, but that's just the beginning. We're only getting started. So, a lot of hard work ahead of us.
Lots of hard work ahead of them. That is the CEO of Africa Arena. That is Christophe Vienu, who is telling us a little bit about their deal flow platform called Africa Arena. They are operating all over the continent, trying to secure funding and deal flow venture funding for small to medium enterprises, particularly in the tech space. He was telling us that at the moment he really likes what's going on in Cape Town in terms of the Silicon Cape, but that of late East Africa has really become quite a hub for tech innovation. And if you see some of the things that are going on in the public sector, particularly in countries like Rwanda, it's a very good example of what can be done when innovation is actually brought to the fore and the country actually gets behind some of the entrepreneurs. Christophe, how can people get in touch with you if they want to either follow you, get in touch with you, or follow Africa Arena online?
So obviously africarena.com, where you find all the information about the challenges, how you can enroll and deal with the team. We obviously have a wide Twitter and a YouTube channel. We produce quite a few videos on the Africa Arena tour that you can follow. And finally, we have a podcast, which is dedicated to entrepreneurs. So you can find us on iTunes or Spotify. Just look up for Africa Arena podcast. So stay tuned for more stories.
So as you heard, they have a lot of different platforms that they are available on. And if you want to catch up with what's been going on the Africa Arena tour, they do have a YouTube channel where they have a lot of video content. And he also said they have a podcast as well that you can find on your various platforms just to keep in touch with what they are doing. So thank you so much. That's been it for today's Business Light Spotlight podcast. Remember that you can find our latest episodes on Business Live under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. On Twitter, we are #BDSpotlight, and then you can subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you so much to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller, and I've been Mudiwa Gavaza. So with that, we've come to the end of the show. So it's good evening, good afternoon, and good morning to all our listeners. Remember that Business Day Spotlight is a multimedia live production.